Robertson in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Boyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. I just got off the forum that Dynamo owner, majority owner, Ted Siegel was having, answering fan questions. He didn't answer them live. They were submitted, but he went over a lot of stuff, and we're gonna talk about it, and I think it's uplifting, and I'll tell you why. Because he is speaking, he's commenting on things. He may not give you the answers you want right away. He deserves a clean slate, and I think there'll be some things in there that you're going to be very excited and happy about. But the fact that he's getting in front of people, and he said, look, we're going to continue to get in front of people. I'll be at games. I'll talk to people. So this is a good sign because, you know, we've had, not that type of exposure from owners in the past, which you got to have an out front owner. You got to have one that's willing to talk, and you have to have a face of the franchise. And whether, you know, that's partially him and someone else, that is so important when it comes to the community. We know that. All right, welcome into Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, right after the Wheelhouse. Guys, we're getting after it tonight. Couple of things here. You can call in right now at 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Right now, live, New York City FC and Dallas 1-1. Remember, Dallas comes in Saturday. So another derby game. But the big news is this. And you know what we're going to do? As this show is presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Let's play back-to-back the goals from Griffin Dorsey, Fafa Pico, and Fafa again in the Dynamo 3-1 win over Austin. We put one over on Austin FC. Let's take a look.
Quintero. He's just slipped through. Quintero tried to save. It's a chance for Dorsey. And it goes. It's 1-0. It's a perfect start here for the Houston Dynamo.
Verona comes back. Here's a Davey. Pico's in there. You better be careful. If he's around, Fafa Pico. Shot the goal. It's a second. Here come the Dynamo on the counter. Pico with a Rudy to his left. Pico. Shot the goal.
Oh, and the feeling of winning. How about that? Just leaving there that night. We feel it as commentators, too, when we work games. Everybody feels it. Everybody in the organization. And if they don't feel it, they shouldn't be there. Sweep them out. If they don't have any passion for this game, sweep them out. Can't have people that do not have passion for the sport and the club involved. So I hope that's something that's going to be considered in the future. All right, so here's Tab Ramos. This is post-match. Here's Tab on the emotions of finally getting that win. And, you know, you had to feel for Tab. You had to feel for the players. Looked very heavy on all these guys. But this was a night. They jump on these guys 47 seconds in. It's Quintero. He takes advantage of a half-asleep Danny Pereira, quite frankly, of Austin FC. And 47 seconds in, I mean, you've stuck your flag to the mask, You are vibrant. You're energetic. The other thing I would say about this win that makes me very happy was, from my subtle standpoint and my subtle judgment, was the fact that when you put all your changes in, all your subs came in, and Tab Ramos was progressive on that, when he made the changes, those players came in and kept the level high. Did not drop. They kept the level high. Was probably the best game of the year, in my opinion, from Memo Rodriguez. Forget about the two goals he had. He's had a rough year. Make no bones about it. He was alive in that game, and he made things happen. Now, let's keep it all in context. It is Austin FC. It's the last place team in the West. They do leave themselves very open. Tomorrow, the test becomes a bigger one. First things first, a good win a solid win, contributions from everybody. So let's talk a little bit about, let's get Tab's thoughts on emotions after finally getting a win.
I would have to say it's a little bit of relief, you know, more than anything else, because we can't look past this game. Like, today was the game. We knew that it was more than 3 points because it's a rivalry game. We knew that it would be more special for our fans. And like I said before, I'm really happy for the players because, you know, at the end of the day, we sit there and we work all week. We do video all week, and they continue to believe, you know, and all the work they've done. I think we deserve to finally put it all together in one game.
So relief was there. Remember I mentioned about progressive with the earlier substitutions. Now, this is a part of the game now that I think has to be examined in a lot of ways. Are you really, in your mind, just saying, look, we're gonna use guys for 50 or 60 minutes. We're going to expect to get more out of them. And then at a designated time, either 55 to 60, a lot of people are doing it at halftime, we're making changes. And you're going to very rarely see a starting 11 play an entire game. It's like pitching in Major League Baseball. You know, you're sharing two or three pitchers over nine innings. How many complete games are actually pitched anymore? I don't know. But that's kind of my, you know, comparison. And you may even think your team is hitting all cylinders, but you might be preemptive anyway. So you're going to see people getting subbed out, and you might scratch your head, wow, he was playing pretty good. But in the context of 3 games in 8 days, in the context of the way the game is changing in this creation of a 50 to 60-minute player, it's very, very interesting. So here's Tab Ramos on making earlier substitutions.
Well, you know, we talked about it again at halftime, and we said, you know what, we've seen this movie before. We got to change the ending to this movie because we've seen it. And I think the players are focused, and I think today, as soon as I felt that the team started to lose a little bit of an edge, we went right to substitutes because we felt like, you know what, let's not let them get back in the game, and I think it worked well.
That was excellent. The subs worked out perfectly. The coach did it perfectly, and those guys that came on truly did make a difference. Let's talk a little bit about Darwin Quintero because he is the designated player. Now, I'm going to contend this was not, and I don't want this to be taken the wrong way, but I've said this on the show before. This was not the best long-term signing for the Dynamo. I love Darwin Quintero. He's an exceptionally talented technical soccer player. As we saw in the last game, he's got more creative ideas than anybody on the team. There's no question about it. But to take him from Minnesota, turn him into your DP, as a 32-year-old, I don't know if that's looking out long-term, looking for a long-term vision. I don't know if that was done just maybe to satisfy a fan base. And let's not make any mistake. Darwin Quintero is an exceptionally talented soccer player. But sometimes when you're 32 years old, you have to be dealt with differently as a veteran player. Was it the system, the 4-3-3, that prevented him from getting in? Tab Ramos was happy about what he did, putting a little bit of pressure on Alex Ring of Austin FC when the ball was lost. So here's Tab Ramos on Darwin Quintero.
You know, I've been saying it, that he's been looking sharper and sharper as the season has gone on. You know, and he's getting better, and he's doing some things that are out of his comfort zone with me, and he's doing them. And, you know, it's not easy. Darwin is a big player. You know, he's our best player. And it's not easy sometimes to manage these kind of players. And I think the one thing that we've both kept is, you know, Darwin and I have kept a really good relationship and trying to work with each other. And I'm really happy for him that today he came in, he started, and he made a difference, and he helped us to get a win. So I'm really happy for him.
Yeah, that's great stuff right there. So Darwin Quintero, he is your best player when it comes to being creative and coming up with ideas. And let me tell you, from a commentator's perspective, you want him on the field because you can expect the unexpected with Darwin Quintero. There's no question about it. Now, that said, earlier in the year, Tab was very open about some fitness issues with Darwin Quintero. I watched him in preseason. Didn't look like he was the fittest. Didn't look potentially to me like he was putting that much effort into getting fit. Now, I'm just a guy on the outside watching preseason games. So let's put that in the context of everything. older players sometimes are dealt with differently. I certainly know it from my playing days. On the other hand, if you're trying to put together an aggressive young 4-3-3 pressing type of system, there may be a conflict there. So those are just things to consider. I sure hope he's going to play against the LA Galaxy, because I think you have to be respected a little bit differently when he's on the field. There is no question. And with Tyler Pascher and Corey Barrett still struggling, I think you got to play him. Here was the mood in the locker room after the game, per Tab Ramos.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just left the locker room now, and the players obviously are happy, and they're celebrating a little bit, because we need that. You know, it's obviously, it's been a while since we won a game, and that's not where you want to be, but it doesn't mean that you have to enjoy it any less. And in particular, when you play your rivalry game, and you know you have traveling fans here, and you know that you know that hopefully the next time we play this game, it'll be full of orange. And we didn't have that today, and we're only to blame for that, because we haven't been getting the wins.
Good stuff from Tab Ramos, taking accountability there. What I did hear just now in the press conference with, not the press conference, the forum with Ted Siegel. Well, you know what? I'm going to save that for the next segment. Let's switch over real quickly here to what was a spectacular second debut for Cristiano Ronaldo. Let's take a listen to that first goal he scores coming back to Manchester United.
Greenwood had a pop.
Well, he did go away. I mean, but he's back now, and he may be back simply because Manchester City showed a lot of interest in him, and that woke up the Glazers and Manchester United, and they said, look, this cannot happen. He can't go to City. We need to bring him in. I think it's a great move. He scored again today, and well, I'll get to that in a minute. They lost 2-1 to Young Boys of Switzerland, which was unbelievable. By the way, a game played on artificial surface in the Champions League. Here's Ronaldo getting the second against Newcastle. This would ultimately be the game winner.
Shaw, gathering speed. They're going to play in Ronaldo. It is Ronaldo! It's 2-1 United! The theatre lives its dream!
All right, here's CR7. Here's Ronaldo on the feeling he had after scoring that second goal. It was scored, if you've ever been to Old Trafford, right in front of the Stretford end.
Well, it was unbelievable. And I just thinking last night that what I wanted, you know, to play good, to show that I'm still capable to help the team. And when I start the game, I was super nervous and they sing my name. But it's unbelievable, and I feel so proud. And I'm going to give everything to make them proud.
Here's Ronaldo on fan reception and how the fans have been towards his return.
Well, it's unbelievable. When I started the game, I was so nervous.
Because, really?
Yes, I swear. But I think it was normal, because I didn't expect they sing all game to my name, so I was very nervous. But I didn't show, but I was. But as I said before, the reception is incredible. But I'm here to, you know, to win games, to help the team, and to make the club.
And Ronaldo happy to score, but then gets into that winning is most important. That's music to the ears of a manager.
The most important is to win games. Manchester needs to be where they deserve. It's to win, to build the team, build the club, and build the mentality. This is what we're looking for. Of course, I'm happy to score goals. I'm not going to deny that. But the most important is the team. The team play good, consistent, they play in a high level. And in most of the times with mature intelligence, so I'm so proud for that.
All right, and Liverpool got a 100th goal from Mo Salah. So let's roll that, because that is a significant Premier League goal for Mo Salah.
Good play for Liverpool. Here's Joel Martip again. Now Salah, back to Martip. What a goal this would be. Salah's made a run. I think he's offside. So he brings Alexander-Arnold into the play. 100 Premier League goals for Mohamed Salah.
And they went crazy over at Hugh O'Connor's, I can assure you that. the great pub there out on I-10, Hugh O'Connor's Pub. It's the home of the Liverpool supporters group, and it's in that marquee entertainment center. Get in there, great burgers, great bangers and mash, all kinds of great food there. Today, okay, so I was mentioning Young Boys of Switzerland. I think A.J. Hoffman once said that that was Fred Fowler's best favorite team because Fred had bet on Young Boys of Switzerland. So the weird thing is they play on artificial surface. I'm sorry. Not authentic. And if I'm Manchester United, I'm running out Cristiano Ronaldo and all these assets I have. I was stunned this stuff was artificial. So it's 1-1. Ronaldo had scored and Gamalou for Young Boys. It's in stoppage time. This is destined to end 1-1. A back pass that is laid right into the path of Sabachu, who's the U.S. striker who played in World Cup qualifying. He wears PFOK on the back of his jersey, P-E-F-O-K. I'm going to call him P-Funk to honor Parliament Funkadelic. But PFOK, Sabachu, ball gets literally passed to him. It was a back pass to De Gea. It's passed to him, and he goes in and scores. They win 2-1. It's one of the biggest wins in the history of that club. Jesse Lingard with the bad back pass. Bayern Munich then won 3-0 over Barcelona today. It is so strange to watch Barcelona without Messi. Any Houston coolists out there? 713-780-3776. It's bizarre. Lewandowski got 2. Muller 1. Juventus 3-0 over Malmo. So today, I actually got some inquiries about the GM position of the Houston Dynamo, asking me for contacts at the Dynamo from people outside of the country. Interesting. Lyon and Pumas tomorrow in the League's Cup. We will have the Dynamo LA Galaxy on Channel 55. Pregame shows at 9 o'clock. Eddie Robinson and I. Sunday, the Dash are playing Tigres. That's the good news. And that will be on Channel 55. That's exciting. The not-so-good news is that at 7 o'clock, Tigres and Monterrey play in the Monterrey Derby. So that may hold back some Tigres fans that might have intended to come out to support the Femenil. So, I don't know. That will be interesting, though. Dash taking on Tigres. They don't have a game, so they filled that schedule there. James Clarkson and company, that's going to be fun. 6 o'clock Sunday, you can get your tickets. HoustonDynamo.com, HoustonDash.com. Take a break here. This is always brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Presenting sponsors, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what Ted Siegel, I'm going to paraphrase a lot of the stuff he said. We may get some of that sound also. But I think this was a very successful town hall, very upbeat, a man that's engaged with his team. This is all music to the ears. We'll take a break. Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, Daspit Law Firm.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Unacceptable. Completely unacceptable. And on a lot of levels, unacceptable. Players' responsibility, intensity when the ball is in play, just the general demeanor of some of our players at the beginning of the game is unacceptable. And we talked about what this game was going to be, a team that hadn't won in 16 games, a level of intensity that you need to have first to walk on the field in this league to compete. And to come out and do that, Danny Pereira wasn't even close to being up to speed. I just talked to him about, does he know who Quintero is? Did he actually look to to do the research. We have plenty of video, plenty of things available to allow these guys to know exactly who their direct opponents are. And it's not just him, but on the play, man, there's got to be a level of physicality, competing. And again, when he gets turned, he shuts off. He again, similar to what happened in Dallas, just no commitment to the next actions. And it affected it. Clearly, it affected it. Stopped moving for the first half, was very uncomfortable, and it was unfortunate. But that was, a few people had that level of, of intensity that was lacking. And it cost us. You get hit in the mouth for the first 45 seconds. It hurts, and the response took too long, and again, it was frustrating. The second goal is obviously unfortunate. We have security of the ball at midfield, and it's a long ball that Julio skips off his leg, and it's terribly frustrating. It's terribly frustrating.
That's Josh Wolf, the head coach of Austin FC, post-match there. He spoke about that early goal, 47 seconds in, where Quintero put it through the legs of Danny Pereira, the Venezuelan. And this is Billy Idol, his version of The Doors' L.A. Woman. Hey, aren't we clever? We're playing that because the Dynamo are playing in Los Angeles tomorrow night. How about that? Aren't we clever, Andrew?
Always, Glenn. Always.
Yeah, I think you're the sharpest tool in the shed, even though I asked for that song. You know that.
I appreciate that, Glenn.
I am the music man. But you are the man who knows about the donut of sadness. And I am surprised that you have not talked to me tonight about a moment of Arsenal bliss here. 1-0 winners over the Canaries of Norwich. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang getting the goal. Why did you not mention anything to me tonight about that?
Well, first of all, the goal was, I don't know if you've ever seen a more just like scrambled over the line goal in the history of Arsenal Football Club.
Whoa. Stop right there. Put the brakes on. You are now going to critique the quality of goals of Arsenal? Is that you're not going to take a scrambled one over the line that wins you a game?
Oh, I will 100% take it, Glenn. I'm just saying, okay. In terms of the quality of the call and everything else, I thought, you know what, maybe we can go elsewhere and wait until they put a couple on Tottenham in a couple weeks from now.
Okay, that's a big one. That could be one that turns the corner. Was there more donut of sadness in this game, or was there more penetration and chances created?
No, they actually got 30 shots. I mean, only six of them were on goal, so some of them were blocked, some of them were off target. But they had 30 shots. I don't know how big a fan you are of expected goals, but depending on where you looked, they were supposed to have scored at least 2.75 on the expected goals. So By and large, it was a much, much better attacking performance. No donut of sadness. They had their basically full first 11, definitely their full back four, and that made a huge difference.
And, sir, you have won a gift certificate to Voodoo Donuts on Washington Avenue. I'm just kidding. Hey, we'll use the sponsor, Voodoo Donuts. You ready? We'll do a donut of sadness take every show with Andrew Carlson. All right? We got that. It's out there. All right, Voodoo Donuts, if you're listening. I was going to say, I'm not a big fan of expected goals. I understand these categories. I'm more prevalent to liking key passes, which is a pass that leads to a shot. Also, shots is very deceiving. I mean, like to your point, blocked, some of them landing in the second deck, It really is about quality chances to me, and that's a stat that you got to follow is real chances, quality chances, and that's the one for me. By the way, Forza Juventus, 3-0 over Malmo today in the Champions League. Sandro, Dybala, and Morata. Chelsea, we got a lot of Chelsea fans in Houston, 1-0 over Zenit St. Petersburg. Romelu Lukaku with the goal. And Sevilla and Salzburg tying 1-1, Rakitic and Susic. By the way, four penalties called in the first half of that game. That's pretty interesting. So I'm glad, Andrew, you're in a good mood, right?
Oh, 100%. I mean, coming off a weekend, your team wins for the first time in the season. They get their first points on the board, get their first goal on the board. Obviously, you like it to be a little bit more convincing, but you'll take them how you can get them. And typically, when you have a streak like Arsenal was on, sometimes it takes a little bit of a scrappy performance and just a win in any way, shape, or form to really get things going.
There you go. All right. The greatest Arsenal fan in the history of the club. He resides in Houston. He is the producer of Soccer Matters. His name is Andrew Carlson. All right. We're going to try to get some of that Ted Siegel sound, but here's So I listened into this. I listened up until 5 minutes before going on live here. So I'm going to give you a synopsis of what I heard. Now, remember, this is me paraphrasing, okay? So the first thing, well, let me just say this about this. The fact that Ted Siegel's out there doing this, this is such a good sign because communication is a huge thing. Nobody's mentioned the communication of this club to the public and the community. This is such a big thing. It's so important, communication. So that is an area that has lacked tremendously over the years. Okay, I'm not afraid to say that. I will say that. Okay, now, Ted Siegel comes on. He hopes, reaches out in a very genuine way about making sure and hoping everybody's safe in Houston. By the way, he gets his first ever victory over Austin FC. He accented that this club has to be a steward of the community, an asset to the community. And as an asset to the community, he said he feels the weight of the team performance, just like the fans do. He says it's way too early, 84 days in, of assessing the team to have conclusions on areas of movement. There will be safe standing areas next season. He mentioned that. He was asked about De La Hoya and Harden and other, you know, the other ownership. He said, look, clearly I'm the majority owner. And I'm the one and only decider, he says, but I do welcome the input of others when they have quarterly meetings, which he's going to update his partners, and then he's also going to hear them out in those quarterly meetings. As pertaining to jobs in the organization, and I think this was more towards the business end of it, he said everybody will get a fair shake to perform. He said that on the radio show with me as well. He said, right now, no other changes on the business side. They want to have on-field success. That's the end game. They want to leave a mark on the community. And he said the easy metric for the competitive side is winning, losing, playoffs, and championships. But they want to do things in the community. He went on to talk about the mini pitches that they're putting in, which, you know, for me, that's excellent. I mean, I remember many years ago talking with Houston Parks and Rec, and there just weren't enough soccer fields for people. So that's being addressed both privately and then through initiatives like this with mini pitches from the Houston Dynamo. He was then asked about data for decision-making processes. And he said, inevitably, you have to use data to make decisions. The question is how you use your data. Use it in a tactical way. But it's all about how you use the data. Number one focus of 2022 is winning. He said that's a simplistic answer. Obviously addressed the new GM. That person will be put in place in mid-fall. So fall starts in about another week or 10 days. So mid-fall, that person is going to be put in place. That person's going to have a say on Tab Ramos, the current Dynamo coach. And he said that person's going to, you know, foster, from a competitive standpoint, the attack of the team to execute, score more goals, I'm assuming, winning, and developing and finding the talent that's needed. So, again, the GM timeline, he said, is mid-fall. This person is going to be someone who has success in the past. They want to get him sooner rather than later. He's going to have a proven track record of developing a youth system. He's going to have a proven track record of being a part of winning organizations that have been in playoffs and won championships. That person is going to be a player that can move players to the first team. This is an area where the Dynamo have struggled mightily. They got a late start on it. Let's be honest, if we're judging our team on sale of players and players that have made it to the first team, it's been a failure. And that's trying to be changed now by Paul Holliker and company. He wants players that can be sold on. He wants somebody that understands the rules of Major League Soccer. So that's a big part of it. He also wants to involve more players from the past. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't necessarily mean they're all qualified to be a part of the organization or to be a GM. But he is heartened by all the outreach from former players who are raising their hands to be involved. And these may be guys, honestly, that raised their hand to be involved for a lot of years and just were shunned, believe it or not. I mean, the only one who's really – two guys have been a constant. Two guys. Eddie Robinson, my TV partner, but he's also been involved in the coaching side, both in the academy and for the Dash, as an assistant to James Clarkson. He stepped down from that. And the other is Brian Ching, who's now is an ambassador. Prior to that was the managing director of the Dash. Those are the only two. And Brian Ching is, I assume, still a current employee of the club. And so is Eddie. So those are the two that have been most involved. I would just say to some of the former players, you know, I wish some had spoken out during the dark times. This is a lot of years of being beaten down. That's what makes it tougher to get back. But let's look to the future now. The current roster spend, Ted Siegel spoke about that. He said it's near or at the bottom of the league. It does not fit the Houston market. The spend will be materially higher. So you know how many years you've been asking for a larger roster spend. It never came, right? This is where, you know, certain players were positioned as bigger signings than they really were. Okay, you know that. I know that. You weren't fooled. Nobody was. You got an owner that's going to speak out now, and it's a good thing. Use the word holistic revenue, allocation resources to the stadium, resources to the training grounds, the facilities. And what Ted Siegel said here was that this will help with recruitment. This will make this a destination for players to come to. And I think that's highly important, very, very important. Because right now the Houston Dynamo are looked upon as island hopping. It's a stopping point to go somewhere else. They do have a short list of well-known players. He said we got to get the right player when we make that big spend, you know, on a designated player with the right type of experience. Can't miss on that, basically, is what he said. We got a little more on this, so we'll come back and we'll talk some more about this. Whew, it's good stuff. I'm excited. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Big thank you to our friends at Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, Jan Christensen. He's very happy right now with Denmark's World Cup qualifying process. It's over on Fondren, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, the great Jan Christensen. Also to our great friends down at Advantage BMW Midtown. I love the way I've been treated down there all these years. You're going to get a BMW. You got to get it at Advantage BMW Midtown. I've bought down there. I've been in sedans. I've been in a 3 Series, a 5. I worked my way up to the X5. They're going to take it through sales, service, finance. It can be done very, very easy. You go down there. You talk to Justin. Talk to Stephen Prather. You get yourself in either a sedan or an SUV-type vehicle. Advantage BMW Midtown. You'll get a hometown advantage there. And they are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. All right, Andrew Carlson takes us to break with The Who. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Yedlin, lovely cross. Pepe! Pepe by name and Pepe by nature! The youthful exuberance of the teenager has fired the Americans into the lead!
I thought he did a great job. Worked tirelessly, competed against physical center backs, scored a really good goal. you know, overall, I think had a strong performance. You know, for an 18-year-old, it's really impressive what he did.
That was Greg Berhalter on Ricardo Pepi, 18 years old, 4 goals in the second half, 4-1 win over Honduras. Anthony Robinson, Ricardo Pepi, Brendan Anderson, Sebastian Legette. Pepi had some wonderful moments of hold-up play as well. And all of a sudden, you got somebody you're considering as your another one of the possibles in your striker position. And quite frankly, he's based on what he did in this round of qualifying, he's your striker for the moment. Fantastic. By the way, you know, my producer, Andrew Carlson, he is a rocker at heart. That was his pick, CCR, Creedence Clearwater Revival. So I just wanted you to know that. I like that, Andrew.
I appreciate that.
You restored my faith.
Hey, CCR is fantastic, man. If you're not rocking with CCR, then I don't know if I can rock with you.
Buddy, I don't even go there with me. I'll destroy you. Okay, Zeppelin, Stones, I'll crush you. Lynyrd Skynyrd, go watch the documentary. It's great. And so is the ZZ Top documentary. But I like all genres of music. I'm into a lot of the electronic stuff too. But the music back in those days, the reason people were making music, the quality of it, it's everlasting. That's why we're still listening to it today. You know, that's music that's, you know, 40 years old. I mean, that's why 100 years from now, people will be listening to the great rock and roll songs of Zeppelin and the Stones. They ain't going to be listening to Kanye West, trust me. And that doesn't mean I don't like some rap and some R&B, too. Okay, so enough of my sermon. And by the way, music is about what you like. It's just like wine, or it's just like anything else. Doesn't matter. There's no right or wrong to it. It's what you like. Okay, so let's get back to what we were talking about here. Oh, a couple of things. Right now, caller number 3, caller number 5, you get a pair of tickets to the Dynamo FC Dallas. Right now, caller number 3, caller number 5, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. The tickets will be sent to you digitally. Okay, and everybody out there today, by the way, I didn't even mention this at the top of the show, but I hope everybody got through the rain and the water and the wind in decent shape. For the most part, looks like we were fortunate here. Okay, so Ted Siegel said Dynamo Dash players, there's going to be sort of a co-branding that they want to continue to do. That one's interesting to me. Do you like co-branding? There'll be Dynamo and Dash players at events. I like that. I do like that. Structural changes to the stadium and in regards to airflow was another thing he addressed. He said they're reviewing how to create more air corridors. They want to improve the seats from an airflow perspective and, you know, how they're retaining heat. Second field being built, facilities down at Houston Sports Park. Basically, he said that's a blank canvas down there. They want to add to the infrastructure, fields, high performance area, and that they are touring other high performance centers of other MLS clubs. So Ted Siegel said something really interesting. He said he was at the Board of Governors meeting, and he was very enthused with the idea sharing and support of the other owners when it comes to Houston and wanting Houston to succeed. Now, think about that. All the owners in this league are very much tied in. There's a lot of revenue sharing. So that's good to hear. Other owners want Houston to succeed. Why wouldn't you? You know, you want all ships to rise with the tide in this league. Ways to improve the fan experience was another thing. They're doing an analysis on that. Comfort is a big part of it. Talked about new seating areas. He said he's going to be available to fans when he goes to games. One of the reasons, you know, the question then came up about mainstream media, getting on ESPN radio, maintaining attention by winning. And winning is what he believes is the key to getting back and getting mainstream coverage, and that's the truth. There's no time for you at the table with the Texans, with the Astros, with the Rockets in this current state without winning. Now, you win, you start packing that stadium, you get better numbers in there, people have to cover you. People have to cover you. Okay. Now, I think we may have... Did you say we have some sound from Ted Siegel right now?
Yes, we do.
Andrew?
Yeah, we've You got some stuff from Ted talking about how he wants to change the fan culture or improve the fan culture and the fan experience a little bit.
All right, so instead of me paraphrasing, let's hear from Ted Siegel, the new Dynamo owner.
So with respect to any conclusions that we've made, I would say it's far too early to have definitive conclusions 84 days in. I think we're still very much in the assessment process, gathering information and trying to figure out where we can make improvements. I think in certain areas there were, to use another cliche, so to speak, some low-hanging fruit that we knew right away that we can improve upon. So, for example, we made the announcement early in our tenure about the implementation of safe standing going into next season. I thought that that was an obvious thing that we could do that I think our supporters have been asking for some time. And that's just one of many facets of our analysis into our organization's physical infrastructure at the stadium, at the training grounds that we're doing to understand where we can improve both our team's performance and our fan experience.
So that was Ted Siegel there. I know you're pulling some more stuff, Andrew, so let me know when you have something else ready. In the meantime, I'm going to answer a question here from Twitter. Matthew says, what is it about soccer in Texas that has all three Texas clubs at the bottom of the table? Do any of their fan bases have a reason to be optimistic about a turnaround? So let's just examine the three teams. So here we have FC Dallas, right? Formerly the Dallas Burn, one of the original 96 MLS teams. Not relevant in their market, yet they have this remarkable reputation for youth development, sending and selling on players to Europe, and that's how they can continue to infuse their team based on that. Do you get the sense they're ever going to win an MLS Cup? And then you say to yourself, their relevancy in the market. So what really is the end game up there? I mean, maybe the balance sheet just looks great and we just keep going the way we are. Up in Dallas, but their relevancy, talking about mainstream coverage, is nothing. I mean, so that's FC Dallas. Austin FC, now they're hitting all the high notes off the field. They've launched this thing wonderfully. I mean, I don't think they put a foot wrong, honestly. Now, you can question the roster put together, but that's a competitive side. I'm not talking about that, but from attendance to merchandising to people wearing the jersey in their city, you know, they off field, they got it done right. High profile sporting director, Claudio Reyna, and then Josh Wolf coming in, first year coach. You have to question everything, though, up there with that fan base selling out all those games on the competitive side. Now, you would also say with young coaches, when it comes to Major League Soccer, like Tab Ramos and like Josh Wolf, they need time. And they'll admit that they're going to make a few mistakes. It's a brand new thing. Any brand new thing that you get into. When I got on radio, I was making mistakes left and right. When I played my first pro game, I made a few mistakes. You have to see the big picture now. So Austin FC, yeah, you can question the roster now. You can question the coach. If that market isn't, then they're in the feel good and the novelty, but they are. They are questioning it, and that's all fair. That's part of being in professional sports. That's what I found so funny about MLS sometimes, the ultra-sensitivity of it. I think we're growing in that department, though. We're not as ultra-sensitive anymore, and real questions can be asked and real questions can be answered. And then we got the Dynamo, and it's been a downward spiral since coming to the new stadium. Let's be honest. You knew people were going to pack it coming over from Robertson. Robertson was a great experience. It was loose. People loved it. We lost that looseness. It's been reactive. Never really got ahead of it. Just kind of strutted around and watched our new stadium. Then the team slowly and slowly did not get ahead of it. Top executives, ownership, it's accountable. Hit rock bottom now. And now hope floats with our new owner, Ted Siegel. And you know what? For fans, it's what have you done for me lately? And I think this town hall forum was something that was really wonderful. Here's more from Ted Siegel.
So first of all, I very much welcome the participation and input of our past players. I think it's important for any organization to recognize the great efforts and the significant events in the history of the organization. That's how you can create ties to the past that both your players and your fans can look to. I'll say that in my brief 84 days, and I would say in particular over the last several weeks following the departure of Matt, I've been heartened by the amount of outreach that I've gotten from former players, both in terms of raising their hand and saying that they want to get more involved and offering some of their initial input. What we intend to do is to create a more specific role of a director of alumni relations to foster those ties to past players. And I do intend to leverage the know-how of some of the alumni in the selection of the GM, because I think that they bring a perspective on the sporting side that is extraordinarily valuable, and they bring a perspective on the community and what would be the right fit in Houston that is valued.
Yeah, that's good stuff right there. So you do want to get the input from people. Now you want to get the input from people that are going to tell you honestly like it is. And that's the key. You have to be brutally honest. Now, I'm a little honest on this show because I care about it. I've been here since 1984. Came to play on a pro team that played in high school stadiums and 5,000 people in an NFL stadium. Spent many years in the youth side of it, 11 years. I mean, we have players that started in Major League Soccer, the Baba brothers. There's tremendous history here. So I wouldn't stop with the history only to 2006. I would take it back to all the other pro teams, all these other guys that have been influential that are out there coaching now. Why stop there? Get the input from as many as possible, and I think Ted Siegel will do that. We do have a lot of history here that's never been nurtured. Others have been much better at us than that. I don't think there's any question. Okay, so let's see. We got coming up in the next hour a couple of good interviews, and they're very different. So you'll get an Austin perspective from Chris Bills of the Striker. He's coming up. That's an interesting give and take from me and him. I think you'll like that. Then Austin Bold, and Kofi Sarkodie is playing on the Austin Bold, the former Dynamo, Jermaine Taylor. They have a new coach. We're going to talk to Ryan Thompson. Played 13 times for Jamaica. He's the new coach. Marcelo Serrano goes into the front office. So we'll do a little USL championship talk, because there is talk about the Bold moving to Dallas-Fort Worth area. And then, coming up in the next segment, I think you're going to like this. This is Dynamo goalkeeper Michael Nelson. Wait till you hear how wonderfully professional Michael Nelson is. Wait till you hear, you listen to him and you just say, wow, what a great representative for the club. And this is another local kid. He played for Hurricanes, or Albion Hurricanes now. Local. Played at SMU. And you'll like it. All right. We'll take a break here. Going to break right now. Caller number two. You get a pair of tickets to the Houston Dynamo FC Dallas. FC Dallas has just taken a 63rd-minute goal here against New York to tie things up. It was Jesus Ferreira. So it's now 2-2 FC Dallas and New York City FC. All right, we'll take a break. Second hour coming up. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. DaspitLawFirm.com. Do me a favor. Likes. Views. These are the things that are related to this show that I would love for you guys to help support me with. Listen to the podcast. Give us likes. And give us all kinds of, just props in a social media way to help continue to grow this show and continue to keep the soccer talk rolling. Take a break.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.